All right. Give me Romans 12th chapter. Going back. Verses 1 through 3. Please open your Bibles. Don't just trust the screen. It may not be there one day. Amen. All right. When you have it, say amen. We know this. I've gone over this several times. But I want to look into it a little bit differently today. You know, the Lord is doing something in my heart. And I'm going to be teaching today, just giving a snapshot, because I don't speak a lot about what I don't feel like I have a real grasp on. This is something that your pastor is walking through himself. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to only give you what I feel like I can today. Amen? And you're going to, I said this a long time ago, as I heal, you will heal. That's how this works. Amen? It's from the shepherd right on through the congregation. That's what's happening, okay? Amen? So, all right, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. We know it, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next verse. The verse that this church is standing on. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. Test. No, okay? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Now give me verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, that's everybody, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And then underline this, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'm really going to talk about one issue here. I want to title this differently, but I think this is the right title. Dysfunctional thinking. That's the title of the message. Dysfunctional thinking. Dysfunctional, the definition for dysfunctional is not operating normally or properly. Amen? All right. Now, when verse 3 says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Not to think, one thing, not more highly than he ought to think, but to think. See those three things? Think, think, think. I've dealt a lot with not being cocky. We're not talking about today. I want to talk to you about this one phrase here. But to think soberly. Soberly means to think with sound judgment. Not too high, but also not too low. Amen? It's to think accurately. Amen? Have a balanced view that's true of yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So hear me ask you a question. Let's ask a question. How do you see yourself? Is it too high? Huh? Is it too low? Hmm? Is it in the right way? Is it in the wrong way? And how do you know? Hmm? Is it based on truth? Or is it based on a lie? Hmm. Let me say this. I heard this recently. It says, this is a quote. A writer said, we don't know who it is, but I got this from somebody. I thought it was pretty powerful. A writer said that we are not, or this is what they said. We are not what we think we are. We are not what others think we are. But we tend to be what we think others think we are. Woo! Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. And because of that, this causes us to slip into what I would call performance mode. What is performance mode? Well, the media tells you what you ought to be. How much you're worth. Right? What you should be by now. What you should have accomplished by now. Huh? How skinny you need to be. Come on, somebody. How skinny your wife needs to be. How smart your kids need to be. Mm-hmm. And by the time you finish feeding on all that that comes from that source, you never get around to appreciating what God has called you to be. Hello, somebody. So to deal with all that pressure, what we do is we compensate. And we slip into, again, what we call performance mode. I've watched myself do this myself. Watch this. Whenever I get around people that have not seen me in a long time, they ask me questions. And they ask me questions that start off like this. How are you doing, Jamie? Now, that's a loaded question. I can answer that in several different ways. But then what normally comes is they try to steer the question into an area, certain areas that we all believe in and come to believe because of what we are drenched in, areas that speak to us and let us know you're okay if you're fine in these certain categories. Come on, you know. So how you doing, Jamie? And then they go, and then they steer it. They go, how's the kids? And this is what I do. Let me tell you what I do. I wrote it down so I wouldn't lie. I go into, watch this, performance mode. Come on. Let's be honest. Huh? And I start telling them how wonderful they are, all the gifted programs that they are in, all the stuff that they're doing that sounds very exciting. I never mention spankings. I never mention punishments. I never mention timeouts. Come on, somebody. I just throw up my conversational virtual travels with me everywhere I go Facebook page. Come on. And that's where you see only what I want you to see. You hear about the stuff that only I want to tell you about. Oh, come on, somebody. That other stuff never gets mentioned. How's the church, Jamie? It's a loaded question. Huh? But hold on. Performance mode. Uh-huh. And I say all the good stuff. Well, you know, we just got a building. God is good. God is doing some wonderful things. We got great parking. The parking lot is all the way up here, all the way down there. Parking way over here, parking way over there. I mean, we got parking. The church is filling up. Look around. Look how we got too many seats left. Man, we doing good. I'm telling you, God is going to do a wonderful thing in our lives in that area. the whole world is going to join my church. I never mentioned that there's also people in the church that are struggling. Come on, somebody. Huh? I never mentioned that folks are dealing with heartache and disappointment, health challenges, husbands that are not coming to church, don't look like they're coming to church, don't want to come to church. Huh? Depression probably from the first row to the seventh row. Huh? Huh? I don't mention that I had to sit brother so-and-so down for sin and sister so-and-so down because she was stealing. I never say any of that. I just go, we're doing good because God is good. When you join to my church? Come on. Never even brought it up. That's how we do. Huh? Am I telling the truth? Uh-huh. I'm just waiting for the day when you can ask somebody how they're doing and they could just be honest with you and say, you know what, I need counseling right now. I am 2 seconds from being out of my mind. Can you push aside 3 cheeseburgers and pray for me? Because I need fast. You need to fast and pray because I'm struggling right now. I'm hurting right now. I'm dealing with some stuff right now. It's bad right now. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, but no. The pressure says performance mode. See? Why do we do that? The world says you have no value unless you look like this. And you have this. And you have that. We all want to be like the 1%. If we're honest, just like Pastor Daniel said, we're praying for stuff and fasting for stuff. Huh? And we all want to be like the 1%. But have you looked at their lives lately? Oh, isn't that funny? Huh? Have you noticed that they commit suicide? Just like everybody else, huh? They get on drugs and alcohol too? Huh? Their children in jail too? Have you noticed that? Huh? They get divorced and remarried more than anybody? You ever seen Hollywood? They just passing around husbands and wives. It's ridiculous. It was like, you know, you got all that money and you can't stay together with nobody? Both of y'all got money. Since she took half, I'm going to get somebody else so I can go take the half. It's crazy. Huh? And the church is doing whatever they can to be just like them. Help us, Jesus. Mainly because we don't know who we already are. Let that sink in. That's point number one. I got to be like everything I see because I don't know what Jesus has done for me. Who that rhymed? We don't know who we already are. Thinking soberly. Alcoholics will tell you, oh, help me with this one, that they became functional alcoholics. You heard that term? Meaning they did everything with a drunken mindset. Some of us are drunk off this world system. And it's conditioning our minds, which is the exact opposite of what the word would do if the word conditioned our minds. So what ends up happening is we fill up on the lies, which is exactly the opposite of what God said. Mm-hmm. To think accurately, you have to go to the one who created you. We all search for significance. We search for security. We search for acceptance. But we continually look for all those things in all the wrong places. Sometimes the best that we could do is get it temporarily to where we feel like we're worth something now. But it's just for a moment. Doesn't last long. So, here's the question. Did you get your view of yourself from the Bible or for something else? What if I told you there was a way to think of yourself, I love this, in spite of everything that's not right in your life?
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to let that one sink in. What if I told you there's a way to think that's accurate about yourself that has nothing to do with what's going on in your life that's right or wrong? Stuff could be all jacked up, all messed up. I'm just dealing with pain and stress and nothing's going right. What if I told you there's a way to rightly think of yourself in spite of what you're going through? Give me Ephesians 1. Let's do this again. I love the Word of God. You could teach the same verse for 10 years and never unpack it. Living Word. Ephesians 1 and 3. When you have it, say amen. Ephesians 1, that's not enough amens. Ephesians 1 and 3 in your Bibles. When you have it, say amen. All right. It says this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are what? United with Christ. Oh, here we go. Even before he made the world, stop. God loved us. Woo! And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes, and decided in advance to adopt us into his own family. In Roman law, back in the biblical times, when you were adopted into someone's family, you gained everything that they gained. Whatever inheritance that was in that family, that was come to that family, if you were adopted into that family, you got what your portion of was with that family. So whatever, if there's $1 million on the table, then some of it's coming to you. Huh? Whatever debts that you had were wiped out. Why? Because you don't exist anymore. The old version of you is gone. Wiped out. Your debts are clear. Totally forgiven. Huh? Jamie Hawkins can't have a bill anymore if Jamie Hawkins no longer exists. You catching this? And also, that means if I get grafted into a royal family, whatever they have, I have. Are you catching it? So when they heard this, that Jesus Christ caused them to be able to be adopted by God, they were like, whoa, are we getting this? But there's a catch. You had to let go of your old life. You couldn't even think you are what you used to be anymore.
Don't miss this.
Had to let go of your old family. Had to let go of your old attachments. Your new identity completely wipes out your old identity. That's Roman law. That's what, when he explained it, that's what hit them. You see what's happening? And how does this happen? By bringing us to himself through who? Jesus Christ. Now watch this, people. This is what God wanted to do. Wow. And it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear son, who? Jesus Christ. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins, wiped them out. Past, present, future, snatched you out of all that. And made you acceptable to God. Why? Because it was paid for with the precious Jesus, blood of Christ. Are you seeing this now? This is true. This is what you have to take in. This is who you really are.
Yes. Ah, help us, Lord.
This was written so that we would know before we even came on the scene on the planet that this is how God felt about us. Before you could do anything impressive, before you could do anything to earn it. Wow, this is just too, it's one, this is what the struggle is. It's hard to get that from your head to your heart. So we can hear that, understand the formula for that, but if you don't get it from your head to your heart, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Holy Spirit has to bring it from what I just heard to what I understand from my head to my heart. Why? Because my head doesn't pump any blood. My heart is how I have life in what I just heard. So the blood has to supply the energy, supply the oxygen. That's how I move. That's how I live. The Holy Spirit's got to take it from where it's just head knowledge to the heart where I function. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. Slow down, Hawk. Before you were impressive with anything, and no matter what, I'll say it again, no matter what you were going to impress God with, it would never top the cross. Nobody's ever done that. And nobody ever will. So God loves us, and he wanted us before he made the world, and he chose us, and he also has what purpose for us. Amen. I love you. I snatch you out. I make you mine. I paid for you. Your sins messed you up, but I make sure Jesus takes care of all that for you. Now you belong to me, and I've got something else for you to do. I got not only that, before you can do, I've got another way for you to think. Because before I can do, I got to think right. Can't do right if you can't think right.
This is good.
Come on. Otherwise, it's dysfunctional. Help us, Jesus. It's backwards thinking to calculate your worth without factoring in how much God loves you. Okay? Because if you do that, it's only human nature for you to function out of your flesh and start performing so you can feel like you're worth something. You see the connection here? Without understanding and taking in just how much God loves you and the extent he went through to have you, to possess you, to call you his own, to bring you into his family, if you're not factoring in how much God loves you in your calculator, there's no way you're going to think right. There's no way you're going to see your value as the way it should be. And all of this is done not because of me and you being wonderful. It's done because for the believer, we are paid for with blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. So when you see yourself biblically, that changes, watch this, the job you think you gotta have, that changes the status you think you gotta have, that changes the amount of money you think you must have. I don't know about you, but I've never had the amount of money that I think I've got to have. And no matter what the world says to me, Jesus keeps taking care of my bills. He keeps taking care. I said it before. He does some very interesting math where stuff that don't look like it's going to add up just adds up. It wasn't there, and then out of nowhere, it just comes through. I've had bills canceled on me. You better pay this or else. And Jesus said, no, we're going, that's gone. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say to you is it changes how you see things. It changes how you view yourself. You could be too high, but you could also be too low. Okay? That's out of balance. Amen. Amen. But thinking this way will cost you. You will have to decide to get your water from another well. And here's the catch. This is what I learned this week. Not because I didn't know it before, but because now I'm having no choice but to have to walk in it. You better have your face in that well daily. You've got to be consistently in that well. Because your natural bent is to think in ways that's not biblical. So if you're sitting up there drinking on stuff that's not godly. Drinking on stuff, girl. Sipping on the wrong things. Then you're going to sit up there and try to figure out how you're going to act right and think right and do right. Good luck. And luck don't exist, as Edna taught me. You got to drink from the well on a consistent basis. I've learned that if I don't do that, some of the stuff I'm battling with, I have to work it through. I'll talk about that in a moment. You know what I'm saying? Not like I'm walking around all the time like, ah! No, no. God is working things out because I'm connected to the well. You see what I'm saying? So some of that stuff is very painful. It's a painful process. He's got to pull out certain ideas and certain concepts and certain thoughts that are not from God. Are you hearing me? So I got to be consistent with it. I got to stand it. It's not for me. I don't know about you. For me, it's not just a daily thing. It's a moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Otherwise, I can slip into something that I'm not supposed to be in. Start thinking some ways that's going to bring me into a place that's not accurate. Okay? It'll cost you. You will have to turn off the lies from this world. Tune in to the truth from the Word of God. You may have to let some people go.
Oh boy, we know about that.
You may have to let those old opinions from those people go. You may have to let what you thought and how you internalized the opinion from those old people go. Not only that, huh? Pastor Daniel said it so clearly. I'm going to say it a different way. You not only have to get rid of those people and opinions, but you might have to let some environments go. What do you mean, Pastor? Watch this. Getting in that well is not just reading your scripture and your devotion for today. It's not just saying prayer for the morning, prayer at night, prayer in the noonday, prayer in the morning, prayer in the noonday, prayer at night. It's not just that. You know what it is? It's living in the presence of God. To think like God, you've got to be near God. You've got to be. This is what I'm getting here. This is why last Sunday was so pivotal. Staying in the presence of God allows me to hear what He thinks about me and not what this world can tell me. Huh? I get that word and the Holy Spirit, that power, huh? And before you know it, I'm going, well, wait a minute, oh, that was incorrect, that was incorrect, that was incorrect. This is correct. This is the truth. You see the difference? Huh? We got to stay in the spirit. We got to stay, huh, connected to it. Apart from me, you can do what? Okay? Not only do nothing, you can't even think right. Huh? So we have to be in the right environment. Now, give me a minute here. Give me Romans 3:23. Very familiar portion of scripture. But I'm going to do the second half of this. So we can see this a little bit clearly. For all have sinned and what? Fallen short of what? The glory of God. Huh? Are we there? Romans 3:23. That's why you need your Bibles. Okay, you know it. And are, watch this, justified by His grace as a gift. That's something we earn. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, huh? Whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood. So, what are you saying here? I am justified. I am redeemed by God. Uh-huh. Because, not because of me, but because of Jesus Christ. God planned, put forward as a payment by His blood And all of that is most wonderful to hear. But here's where the rubber meets the road. To be received by faith. I've got to believe that. I got to walk in that. Why? Let me tell you why. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God is now open to everyone who trusts and believes in God. You trust and believe in Jesus, the kingdom of God is open to you. Why is that so important, Jenny? Not just in eternity. It's open right now. Right now, I have access to God because of what Jesus Christ has done, because the blood paid for me, and I believe that in faith. Come on, somebody. And I have access to the kingdom of God while I'm sitting here on earth. Having access to the kingdom of God, the presence of God, that I can go into at any time, changes everything about how I think. Now, when I think of all the sin that I've done, when I think of the decades, when I think of all the sin that comes through my family line, the centuries, when I think of all the stuff that the enemy can use against me as ammunition, that stuff can hinder me if I concentrate on that more than what God says from entering into the joy of the Lord that is available for me right now. This is what I'm learning. But you got to drink from a different well. What? Consistently. The devil tries to use this ammunition to beat us down, to cause us not to realize who we are in Christ Jesus. Not by yourself. The key is in Jesus Christ. So I can talk about all the terrible things of where I came from. But the solution is identifying with a perfection kingdom that I've been grafted into. I've got to be able to identify with a whole nother place, a whole nother sphere, of perfection. Listen to that again on your tape. I've also got to remind myself, of what is also true. The truth is, I'm not all that. But Jesus is. And because Jesus is and will always be and ever liveth to make intercession for me and is sitting at the right hand of the Father, approved of with the work finished for me, I have access to God right now. You got to get that. That's key. I stand in confidence. Not because of what I've done. I stand in confidence because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And his record is perfect. Perfect. Now, here's the kicker. If we don't live in the presence of God, we don't not only think how we should think, we don't function how we should function. We begin to make choices out of who we are not. We will continue to settle for what God never wanted you to have. We will also go after things that are never necessary for you to have. It's a waste of time. When you know that your father is the king, that changes how you think. You getting this? No, this is not a prosperity message, because that prosperity message, the prosperity is only in Christ. It's not in you. Okay, so that's how you balance this. Okay, our sinful nature, you know, we have a divine nature that's only because of what Jesus Christ has done. I'm not saying go out there and get a car on this that you can't pay for. No, that's what I'm not saying. Okay, get that in your mind. What I'm saying is this is a way to think to where you might not even be tripping off of that. Okay, all right, here we go. This is good. Preach this, Holy Spirit. So, you don't feel like you need everything. You don't chase after everything. Yeah, when I know that my father's a king, I don't date everybody. I'll say it again. I don't date everybody. You make different choices. You're not like everybody else, and you're okay with it. For how about that? Huh? That's what I want to get to. That's what the Lord is doing in my heart. I believe, Jamie, you're okay with me.
Yeah.
Why? Jesus fixed all that.
Yeah.
Stop trying so hard.
Yeah.
Chill out. Huh? Okay. You won't have to follow the world system trying to prove a point, seeking prestige, seeking status, seeking approval. Not trying to get things to prove a point. Going broke to look like you're worth something. Can I say something racial? Some of us have that really bad. We are not LeBron James. LeBron James, you are not. You will go broke trying to breed somebody you're not. And then ask the church to pray for you. You shouldn't have got it in the first place. You know you can't afford it. And God never told you you needed it. Amen? When you're in the presence of God and you're in the Word of God, when you are valuing that secret place, that place where God can speak to you and lift you up and at the same time keep you balanced, who you are will be based on who Christ is and what he's done for you. Amen? But you got to stay in the presence of God to actually function that way. Again, I don't do anything unless there's some kind of thought before it. Okay? Staying in the presence of God. Pastor Daniels said last week, the priests could only go into the Holies of Holies. When? Once a year. Right? So let's give the human side of that for a minute. They didn't go in all the time. So I'm sure that since you don't do this all the time, when you go in next year, because it's still based on the sacrificial system and not the new covenant of grace, you might go in a little nervous. You know what I'm saying? They even had a chain that they put around your ankle just in case you didn't sacrifice enough lambs. Because it all depended on you. We weren't so sure that you did everything that you were supposed to do to go in and actually make it out. Because God's holiness is so incredible that flesh, unless it's bought and paid for and covered by blood, that's a very dangerous place to be. See the privilege we have now? Amen? So, you probably back then did not enter into the secret place of the Holy of Holies with a whole lot of confidence and boldness. You might have tiptoed in the presence of God.
Huh?
That's not what the believer does now. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, we don't enter based on what we've done. Again, we enter based on what Christ has done for us. And we, as Pastor John said just last week, we need to take advantage of this, people. I don't know about you, but was this a different week for some of you? Did we, you know what? Let me just sit here and think about how good you are and how wonderful you are and tell God thank you instead of complaining about everything. And huh? I'm struggling with some stuff. But the reason why I'm struggling is because I'm having a battle with the old thoughts versus the new thoughts. You see what's happening? So there's a process that's going on. Sometimes I'm sitting there going, because God is working it out in me. But before, I would just be stuck in the wrong thinking. So at least we are moving towards the right thinking and not dysfunctional thinking. Hear me, saints. Last couple of scriptures. John 19, 28 through 30. I love this. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill scripture, I thirst. He's on the cross. Amen. This is right before the end of the crucifixion. Verse 29 says, a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Jesus wanted to fulfill everything that needed to be fulfilled, even to the smallest detail of his assignment. He fulfilled all of it. Okay? When Jesus had received the sour wine, verse 30 says, he said, underline this, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. Here's the question. When Jesus said, it is finished, and in verse 28 it says, knowing that it was all finished, what was missing that he didn't finish? Not one thing. I've been looking at my devotional, and there's a prayer there that says this. Lord, help me to unpack everything, all that I can, out of that statement, it is finished. What was left undone? What was unfinished? What did he not accomplish? Huh? If God is satisfied, then why are we trying to impress others? If God is satisfied with all of Jesus is finished, then why are we trying to prove a point to ourselves?
Well.
It is finished. All of it. If you are in Christ, then Christ has paid for it all. God is satisfied. It's true. There it goes again. I see the look on your face. From here to here, Lord. From here to here. It's all done. I can't outdo that. It's finished. He paid for it all. The believer is right with God and can't get any more right than that. Are you seeing this? So, that means that if Jesus is taking care of it all, and my position is in him, that means I am not and can never be what I'm going through. There it is. I can never be what I'm going through. That is not my identity. Are you catching that? Christians never calculate their worth by their circumstances. No, it's not true. Watch this, Ephesians 6:16. Just teach Jimmy. Ephesians 6:16. I love this. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. The enemy throws darts of doubt. He tries to remind you of what you did wrong, how you messed up, your past, what you did, what others did to you. We're going to tackle that in a minute. The only thing that stops this is the shield of faith that you throw up, not to talk to him, but to remind yourself of the finished work of Calvary. I stand right now, simply because of my faith in Jesus, complete and whole, lacking nothing. Help us, Jesus. So it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks of me. It doesn't even matter what I think of myself. All that matters is what God says about me All that matters is the fact that I am in Christ Jesus, and whatever is lacking in you, which is everything, is still filled up by Jesus Christ. Listen, let me say this carefully. People know this about this church. They say, Jamie and that church don't play with sin. Don't even go in there. We have a little bit of a reputation. I could tell by when I go to certain venues or certain events or whatever have you, people, they shake and say, how you doing, Pastor? You see something? You can tell the look on their face. I'm like, they know we don't play in TLC. One of my pastors told me, Jamie, you guys have firmly established that in the Bay Area. That's known. Don't go to TLC and think you're going to be comfortable doing some craziness. You ain't going to sit up in church without us going, can I talk to you for just a second?
No.
Just going back. Have a little Jesus meeting. That's known. But it would also be great and cool if we were known as the joyful church. This is where I struggle. Where all kinds of stuff could be going wrong in our lives. And people can say, but yeah, but y'all just some happy people. Y'all just some joyful people. Huh? She might have came to church today on the bus, but you can't tell because of the smile on her face. You would think she owns all of BMW. Just because she's just got the joy of the Lord. See, it's one thing to be, you know, hard on certain things. It's another thing when people know that you love Jesus just by the smile on your face. Just, huh? Oh, you must go to that happy church down the street. You look like it. See? That's where we get in the presence of God. To come out thinking about ourselves and thinking about our situations through his lens and not mine. This is important. This is important. So, again, we are not what we are going through. Last part. But not only that, you're not what happened to you. No, no, no. Remember the debt? Snatched out. The identity snatched out. Now given a new identity in Christ Jesus. That is, saints, the truth. My wife quoted it this morning. Very interesting. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know this. But let me give it to you a different translation because I want to show you something here. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become what? A new person. The old life is gone. And a new life has begun. Help me do this, Holy Spirit. Let's say you have an old car. It doesn't work well. You keep the door closed by attaching a bungee cord to it. It's got a little spring. Which means you climb in on the passenger side to get in the car. The muffler will drag on the ground if he hadn't attached some really strong industrial Velcro to the car. To the muffler, because it's going to just scrape all down East 14th Street. The car is leaking oil. Sometimes, because you've got electrical problems, the windows don't roll down. Amen? The brakes are bad. The tires are worn. The car is old. But for some reason, you still drive it because it still works. It's okay because it gets you from point A to point B. But you dare not drive it any great distance. Because deep down inside, you know that the car will probably break down. It can't go far. So the car can't take you anywhere but from point A to point B. The car keeps you in a certain area. You don't get out of that area very much. You function from point A to point B. And you say to yourself, well, at least it's functional. I just described the believer that is sure enough saved, but doesn't realize that they're new. Why? Because we found a way because of all the stuff we've been through. All the things that have happened to us to barely function. We don't go far.
Help me, Jesus. This is speaking to me. I don't know about you.
Here's the problem. Christ was not sent for us to just barely function. Christ came to set us free. Oh, it's nice and quiet up in here. Now, here's the crazy thing. You got that old car. But because you're in Christ Jesus, you also have a new car. But for some strange reason, we keep getting in the old one. We are so used to what we have learned to survive with after the trauma and the pain and the hurt and the disappointment that we just settle for, well, I'll just at least function. Help me, Jesus. Some of us are brilliant and creative. We've learned how to cope. We've learned how to deal with what happened to us. Oh, this is, yeah, people are doing church. If it hurts your shoe, just take them off. But hear me this morning. We're stuck in the old car because of dysfunctional thinking while we got a new car. But we don't get in. Because what we're used to. There's this thing that I've learned about called PTSD. Post-traumatic stress syndrome. Where you're still at war even after you return home. And being home and thinking you're at war don't go together. Are you hearing me, saints? I'm stuck in a certain way of thinking. God has made me free, but I'm not aware of it. So I continue to function out of the old me and what happened to me. I'm talking about me. Am I talking about anybody else up in here? It's scary quiet up in here. No one's saying amen because it's like... I begin to function and I stay in that kind of thinking. I go to the job interview with dysfunctional thinking. I think I'm still at war.
Well, we want to give you a new job, sir. We want to see if you can handle the management department, but you know. You seem like you got the skills. I just want you to know that the job is yours if you want to. How do you feel about that?
Well,
I think it's okay. I'm not certain if I can handle that. But I think I can do that. I think that's okay. Maybe I can handle that kind of situation, you know. Don't have a lot of confidence in that, but maybe I can do it. Huh?
You can't go to work like that, people. But spiritually, that's what we're doing.
That's the truth.
Think about it. Huh? We're raising kids like that.
Ooh.
Out of the war zone that we came from, not even realize God has made us new. Did I just say that to you? That sounds like where I came from, not where I'm at. But I'm conditioned to get in that old car and drive all of my life. Huh? Doing stuff I'm not, oh my God, are you getting this? Huh? We raise kids like that. We go to job. We function in the wrong way. We don't get very far. We've got set boundaries of limitations. Because of that, we don't grow out of that sphere. We're stuck. Dysfunctional. Raising my kids like that, working like that, having relationships like that. I got married like that. Huh? What do you got? Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. I'm divorced before I even got married. Looking for the exit. I don't believe God can do anything because of where I came from. I can't receive any blessings because I'm so. You see this?
Yeah.
You see this? I'm so concerned. Because something is not speaking to me right to where I can get my thinking changed and see what God has done. I look at my kids and some of the stuff that I've been through can cause you to be paralyzed. Huh? I look at my kids and I go, everybody said, Jamie, you got beautiful kids. You got great kids. And sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, what do? I'm so used to being concerned about everything and worried about everything, huh? And letting the wrong voice speak to me. Huh? What I do is that we do what the typical American father does. I first think about how I'm going to pay for all these people.
Oh.
Well, you got five. Well, I'm going to do this. It's going to be expensive. Huh? So concerned about the end result, I don't enjoy the journey. You see this? What is that? Some of us have been traumatized.
Yeah, we have.
Huh? Well, we can't live in what God has given us now because we're way back here somewhere. Huh? Well, Jesus, I made you new. I paid for all your stuff. I paid for what they did to you. I paid for all that. Remember me in Christ. He's a new creature. All things are passed away. And all things, behold, take stock of, notice, be aware. But you're new.
Brand new. Oh, glory, glory, glory.
Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. We're living out of what happened, not what God has done. And it paralyzes us. Remind yourself. Get into the presence of God. Get into the Word of God. Pray. Moment by moment, if you have to, if you're like me, and say, God, tell me how you feel about me again. What'd you do? I gave my son for you, Jamie. I gave, this is before you could do anything, Jamie. I gave my son for you. I gave the most valuable thing I have. I gave you my son. Huh? He came to save you. I was sitting there playing a piano, and the tears were flowing because all I kept thinking about when the light was shining on Jesus, whatever John saw, and the Holy Spirit was lighting on Jesus like a dove, he said, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. I'm not pleased with anything else. I'm pleased in him. Why are you trying to impress me with anything else? I've given him to you. Help us to see, God, what we have, God. Help us to see what we have. You don't function out of what happened to you. You function out of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you hear me, saints? Do you hear me? Oh, yeah. I think I can't finish all. I think I have to finish next week.
Jesus said, it's finished. And then it says in John 19, 28 through 30. Go back there real quick. We were just there. Keep going. Next one. 30. He said, it is finished, and he bowed his head. Watch this language, people. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Technically, they killed Jesus. Technically, God gave his son as the plan that they could kill Jesus. Amen? It was the plan. But Jesus didn't give up his spirit until he was getting ready. That's the truth. In fact, they tried to give him some gall to get him to numb the pain so he could carry the cross because they beat him so bad. He's like, no, I want to feel all this. I don't want nothing to distract me or numb the pain. No coping mechanism. To stop me from doing everything that must be fulfilled in Scripture. I'm going to fulfill every prophecy, all 300 and some of them. I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to take anything that's going to stop me from feeling what I need to feel. I need to be all here. God and man. You see it? But he controlled everything, even up to his death. Even up to his death. Bowed his head and he gave up. If Jesus can control his own death, what makes you think he's out of control as far as what happened to you? Not only that, he has the ability. Why did you let it happen? Because he's going to use it. I'm poster boy for that. Huh? There's several others like me in this room. We're poster kids for what happened that God allowed, that he still controlled, and he's going to use when we come out of it. Yes, and if it had not happened, I would have nothing to say. So I have to get to the point where I trust the Lord and know that it's going to be all right. He's decided it didn't kill me. I'm still standing. I'm still here. I'm still in my right mind. But God is going to accurately tune my mind. There it is. Huh? By being in his presence and being in his word. Even if it costs me moment by moment. I'm done. I'll be right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.